Let's pray for Israel. I just want to read a scripture from Romans chapter 11. And Paul writes, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Amen. You should turn this on. It wasn't. Okay. Leave it. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Israel. We thank you for the nation of Israel. We thank you for the leadership there, Lord. We thank you for the goodness that you have shown to them through all the years. And Lord, we pray for them. Lord, may you be revealed in their hearts and their lives. May you give their leadership wisdom and guidance as they lead that country. And Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for the peace in Israel and Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that whatever we can do, give us some wisdom, Lord, in order to bless your people. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for all your kind birthday wishes. I know all of you guys that are friends with me on Facebook, it was kind of interesting. I was called a number of things, including a sexy devil. Okay, I'm not going there. But we had a great time. We had a great time at Clearwater College because that was the same day as my birthday, the 3rd. So we spent a lot of time traveling there and back. But we enjoyed the session there. So it was long, it was 3 hours. But they transferred. We wanted to remember Paul Wright because he'd been there for so many years and poured his heart and life into there. But Gene Hansen, he has an awesome vision. And he is passionate. I'm convinced that we've got the right guy there. And so they're having a tough year because they don't have that many students. And he's got 6 kids to feed. And so we're just praying and bless them best we can. We are a church that contributes to our college, and we're thankful for that. Thank you also. Everybody knows that Jamie and I like turkey necks. So we've received a number of turkey necks this week, and we will enjoy them in time. And like I told the first group, if we got too many of them. My brother and I used to fight over who got the turkey neck. So I got another guy that I can always give them to. So it's always interesting to see what people find that you like and contribute to. Amen. I want to also just remind you that in May, we're still planning on this, that part of the planning committee for the FCA convention in Edmonton, the first part of next May, and we're hoping to have it. If we can't have it, we still have a virus. Somehow we're going to do this. But it's at the Chateau Lacombe. And a number of things is from a Monday to a Thursday. You don't have to stay there. You can commute if you want. But I think it's going to be a great time. We have a number of speakers. And we're starting to produce 1-minute videos. And so that's going to happen probably once a month now. And so as soon as we get them, Al Purvis over in Thailand is our producer. So, but of course, everything can be done so easily now that it's not hard for people to get it here. I always find it interesting that I can converse with Caleb over in Taiwan, and a half a minute later, he replies to me, and it's like, wow, this is unheard of, And so we thank God that we can use communication the best we can. One of the highlights this year is going to be Thursday, is going to be Mission Day. And so one of the things in regards to our fellowship is because we're not a denomination, so local churches like ours or others will sponsor missionaries. So what we want to do is tie it all in and kind of bring some continuity to and awareness to who's got missionaries where. And so Thursday, that will be Missions Day. And every missionary that comes to the conference will be able to have a brief time to speak. And Pastor Bev from Fort McMurray, our sister church in Fort McMurray, is bringing at least 14 missionaries. I mean, they are a missions-minded church. And everybody works a little differently. But they're going to bring a group, a committee kind of thing. And then in the afternoon, well, first of all, we're going to have lunch together, and there'll be a missionary, a different missionary at every table, so that you can go to whatever table you want if something that they have said has sparked your interest. Then in the afternoon, they're going to be separated, and there will be a group leader. We'll all be divided into groups, and we'll go from missionary to missionary, 7 minutes at a time, and we'll have a passport. Every time you go to the missionary, you get your passport stamped. And then at the end of that afternoon, they will draw a name, and whoever gets drawn, you can go to the, you will get a paid trip to the mission field of your choice. And I just think that's awesome. And we have two churches that have already sponsored that. And so it's not coming out of convention expenses or anything like that, but it's like, we really feel we want to get back connected with our missionaries. I think that's a good thing. So that's just to give you a little bit of an idea of what's coming. Like I say, we'll keep you posted in regards to that. Amen. All right, now we gotta, I don't know how this all got messed up here, but eventually we'll get my title. A reason to be thankful. You know, one of the hardest things, I think, for pastors is when you come up with a sermon, with a message, I shouldn't say come up because you're led by the Holy Spirit, but still, you know, you need, what can I give fresh, Lord? Because Thanksgiving is obvious there. Thanksgiving Day, you're supposed to preach on being thankful. Mother's Day, you preach on mothers, you know, Father's Day. And so it's like, I just thank God for His creativity. And I trust you'll be blessed by this today. A reason to be thankful. We're going to focus on the goodness of God. We sung about the goodness of God, and we're going to focus on that this morning. So out of James chapter 1, verse 17, in the Passion Bible, it says, every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect. Every gift. So you're not going to get any bad gift or defective gift. Every gift is good and perfect. Streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens, with no hidden shadow, no darkness, and is never subject to change. So that's good news right there. There's, you know, like maybe we're watching the campaign down south there, and there's a lot of shiftiness going on down there. And it's like that, you always expect good from God, because He's a good, good Father. As we sing, that's who He is. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19, Moses said to God, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Lord, in your presence. I'm just thankful today that God is a good God. And He always has, He always will be, and I believe it's essential that we believe that and that we live that. And I know religion sometimes doesn't relay that to us, but God is good, and I trust that's your experience, and I trust this year to come, you know, till next Thanksgiving, that you'll experience the goodness of God in fresh and new ways. There's no shadow of turning or darkness with Him. You can constantly, you can consistently expect from God, regardless of what any circumstances or, like I said, religion may say. And because of this that consistency, you can't be anything but thankful, because in His goodness, you also experience His love. And here's another thing that I've learned over the years, that thankful people are generous people, because as you're experiencing His goodness, you find, as John writes, that perfect love will dispel all fear. You just know that God will look after you. He's got your best interest in mind. And so that's cool. And I'm glad I'm in generous and thankful people. Not every pastor experiences that. And so I'm thankful, that you're experiencing the love of God, that you're experiencing the goodness of God. And out of that, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's a very great thing to know, and a great thing for me and for Jamie to experience. One of the other things that I love about God, and so many things that of God's character and personality, but He never changes, but the way He shares His goodness is different. And I will use the comparison, because I had the privilege of being married to two wonderful women. And, you know, those of you that remember Hilda, you know, the way that God ministered to us and spoke through us is different than the way that, I mean, there are a lot of similarities, but He's not limited to the way that He can share His goodness. It's like when I married Hilda, I mean, I'm born and raised in the city. I'm an Edmonton boy. And Hilda was raised on a ranch south of Youngstown. And it's like, okay, I really know nothing about ranching, but I better learn, because her dad, if those of you remember Jack Nelson, he had those piercing blue eyes. And Hilda told me the first time when I went home to her place, she said, no, guys have been frightened because my dad's going to stare you down. And he did. Hey, it was good. We had a good marriage. But yeah, there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things about, I had to learn about hunting coyotes with dogs, which is totally illegal now. But back then, you know, my father and I had 12 to 15 greyhounds. And, you know, and so because he knew I was a cross-country running, you know, he'd go on the top of the coulee. Now, you run around the bottom of that coulee there and chase that coyote up. And it's like, okay. It's just a whole different world. We don't even think about that now. But, and what God has given to us, it's just, he's just, it's like, because Hilda was born and raised in a Christian home, a good Christian home, but of course, Jamie with her JW operation, that's totally different. And it's like, before I married, I remember praying, I said, God, you got to reveal yourself somehow to her. That's going to be real, and I don't know how that's going to be. But one of the things that he has done is just remarkable things that he has, either when we're driving or we're doing something, he'll either, the Holy Spirit will say something to her or to me, and it's like, okay, we'll do this. We'll slow down, or we'll avoid that, or we'll call this person, or, you know. And but the goofiest thing that I think, and it's just because God is God, you can pray for anything. You know, and I've shared this with you before, and I'll share it again because it happens every fall. I married a gal that collects records. You know, she's got 600, 700, 800 records. I don't know how many records she's got down there. But we liked it. We got record players set up in stereos in three different places. One is our bedroom, but in the summertime, we don't go up on the main floor, we go down. And so we moved back into our bedroom, and she likes this record, I like it too. It's called Dick Anthony Singing Man. And so it's got a lot of choruses on, and it's a beautiful thing to go to sleep with. And like, we get maybe past the first song, maybe not. It's just like, it's just listening to gospel is good. And other times, we might listen to the Oak Ridge Boys, or Blackwood Brothers, or who knows, Gaither, I don't know, we know all kinds of, but this is our favorite one. So the other day, I'm going to put this thing on, and it's like, you know, this record player, it's a Fisher stereo, a very good stereo, but it's probably from the 70s, and it's like, it's got the turntables of a rubber band. So that rubber band has been sitting there all summer, with the heat and the cool, depending on the temperature in the house. And it's like, I'm really kind of freaked out to start this thing. So I started up, and I'm sure, yeah, it sounds like the chipmunks. I mean, the thing's just going crazy. And I said, Lord, and it's, honestly, it just came to me, speak to that record player. So I said, in the name of Jesus, work properly. And she'll verify that. It did. That thing just, it works every night now. So if God can change water into wine, he can also make a little piece of rubber function the way it's supposed to. You know, so pray for everything. But I just realized that you know, God's goodness is there, it's consistent, it's constant, but the way he reveals himself to you guys would be different than the way he reveals us to us. So my little story this morning, and you might have noticed the worship leaders are drinking a lot of water. It's dry up here, I'll tell you. And it's just not my preaching. My story on thanks is about Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling, famous writer from Great Britain. Before and after his death, he made a great deal of money. So a newspaper reporter came up to him once and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, really? I certainly wasn't aware of that. So the reporter cynically reached into his pocket and pulled out $100. I don't have a $100 bill in it. He said, this is legal in the States. Pulled out $100 and gave it to Kipling and said, here's $100, Mr. Kipling. Now, you give me one of your $100 words. So Rudyard Kipling looked at the $100 for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." Good deal, smart move. Now, here in our text, Moses requested to see God's glory. Now, I don't know what Moses was expecting to see back, to get back what he was expecting to see, but in verse 13 is a key to me. It says, he told God, "I want to know your ways. Show me your ways." Now, in his day and age, the kings of that day, probably in showing their glory, would usually display some type of power. We're strong. We're mighty. If God had been like the gods of Egypt, he could have displayed something to provoke fear and terror. However, he wasn't like other gods. Instead, he revealed his goodness, which is totally different than what the pagan gods and what the pagan kings would have done around him. So I don't know what Moses was expecting, but this is what God said. "I'm going to show you my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord." And he said, "All my goodness. Okay, I want you to lead my people the way I'm going to lead you." And probably, you know, if Moses was thinking of the governments around him and the countries around him, he thought, okay, I've got to lead these millions of people. And they're rebellious and they're nasty at times. So I need God to reveal his power and glory so that they will obey me. God says, "No, I'm going to reveal my goodness to you, all of my goodness. So then you can lead them by my goodness in you." You know, oftentimes, you know, God has always been a faith God, and we can trust God to the degree we believe in his goodness. God has always been a faith God, and faith works because it's motivated by love, according to the scriptures. Now, many believe the most significant manifestation of God is his judgment. However, as we go back in the covenant, we see that when we get into the very special place, the Holy of Holies, what do we have? We have a seat of mercy, not a seat of judgment. And we need to remember that. And under the new covenant, how much more? In James chapter 2, verse 13, he writes, "Mercy triumphs over judgment." Romans chapter 2, 4, you've heard this mentioned from you before. It's the goodness or the kindness of God that leads to repentance, not the wrath of God. As with Moses, so it is today. God's goodness needs to become the power of our influence, sharing the goodness of God. When we believe and understand God's goodness, we have a very thankful heart and a very thankful life, because we're not living in fear, we're living in the love of God and his goodness and mercy endures forever. The opposite of thankfulness is entitlement, and that's a problem with in our world today, because when you think you're entitled to something, you're never satisfied. But when you taste and see that the Lord is good, there's a whole new satisfaction that comes there. And you are very thankful. Now, another principle here that I wanted to share with you, Bible principle, is the law of sowing and reaping that I wish our world would understand today. Because we just had a wonderful harvest, but that wasn't going to happen unless there was some sowing going on. And the farmers out there were not sowing weeds and thistles. They were sowing seeds of various varieties of different product. And so there's some truths about that, that what happens in the physical also happens in the spiritual, the relational. And so the seed you plant determines the fruit's going to grow. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You sow wheat, you're never going to get wheat. So in our day and age, when we see so many things happening, we need to realize the seed of deceit cannot produce honesty. It'll only produce more deceit. Violence will not produce peace, but more violence. Half-truths will not produce whole truths. You know, you can take a few words out of my message, or Ted's message, or Shannon's message. The media says, "Well, we're only going to tell you the truth." Yeah, but not the whole truth. They can take five words out of Ted's message from last week and put it on, and that's not the context at all, the way you see. And so, you know, half-truths are not produced whole truths, nor will it be produced wholeness as well. But the seed of gratitude or thanksgiving will produce more of its kind. How we need to have that. This is where we can really shine, folks. That sowing into our relationships, into the workplace, into wherever. Seeds of gratitude and thanksgiving, living that kind of life. All right. So the seed of gratitude or thanksgiving will produce more of that. Now, the other thing is, one seed always produces more of its own kind. And it's a little bit frightening out there when you see the hate, anger, and violence. That's not only going to come back one way, that's going to come back multiple ways. Because it's going to bear once that fruit starts to grow. But this is where God's people come in. This is where we can be salt, we can be light. We can be seeds, seeding seeds of thankfulness and hope. And it'll multiply even more, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So that multiplication is going to be greater. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But he also said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Amen. So that's a good thing. And so let's just be there. Let's just allow God to speak through our lives, through our words, in ways that bring peace, in ways that bring thankfulness, and let it produce more in this world around us. So in closing, I'll share with you a couple other scriptures. First Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. In the same way that that nursing infants cry for milk, we must intensely crave for the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. Especially now that you have a taste of the goodness of the Lord, Jehovah, and have experienced his kindness. Good, as I mentioned before, I think the King James says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We have tasted, and as we've tasted that, we'll grow and continue to taste that goodness of God. And then my confession for today is the same as the psalmist. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm confident of this because God is good, and his goodness is good. It's got to show somewhere, and it's going to be shown through us. And I really believe, despite all of what's happening around us, we're going to see some interesting things of the goodness of the Lord. And I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in Camrose, Alberta, Canada. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the Camrose Community Church. Amen. I will see the goodness of the Lord in Canada, in Alberta. And you know, I believe and live that, like I say, you're sowing seeds. At some point, those seeds are going to bear fruit. And we just have to be confident of that and trust God, because he's been good, and his goodness through us will also produce goodness. His goodness through us is not going to produce violence. It's going to produce goodness. His love through us is not going to produce hate. It's going to produce love. So let's just remember that as we go. And you guys have a great Thanksgiving day and a week to come. Some of you are getting together with family and friends. Some of us aren't. Some of our families all over the world. So we get there by email, kind of thing. And that doesn't really taste good. It's not as good as turkey would taste. But anyways, let's stand together and we'll dismiss you in prayer. I shouldn't say stand together. Let's stand apart. It's the reality of it all. Amen. Thank you, Father, that you're a good, good Father, because that's who you are. And we're loved by you. That's who we are. And we thank you that we can experience that love. We can taste and see that you're good. We can live that way, and that can be our influence in the world. And we thank you, Lord, for your love that's shed abroad in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for an awesome day today as families meet together. Be it by email, be it by Zoom, be it by physical, actually being together. We just thank the Lord that this is not just one day we celebrate Thanksgiving, but 365 days a year. We are thankful. And so, Lord, for your goodness, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.